The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father hath sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. We learn about the great feast of Pentecost from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, which is our first reading today. So I'd like to look at an understanding of Pentecost which might somehow fit into how the Spirit moves us in our lives today. There are three great feasts for the Jewish people on which they were obliged to go to Jerusalem. And in order to understand Pentecost, it will be good for us to look at all three feasts very briefly. And the first was the Passover. The Passover has its origins in a nomadic people. Originally, the Hebrew people were nomadic. They wandered with their flocks. And each year, around the springtime, they would have to move their flocks to new pastures. And it was their practice to offer a lamb in sacrifice, an unblemished lamb, at the springtime, when they were moving their flocks, to ask God to bless them with pastures. You'll find this in the Psalms. 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. We're seeking green pastures." So they're a nomadic people, and they're moving around with their flocks. And in the springtime, they offer a lamb. Now, in due time, they will become a settled people. They will enter into their land. By the way, when they do, then you'll find that the prophets over and over again preach very strongly about social justice. This wasn't necessary when they're nomadic people. Nomadic people depend on one another. Some years ago, I was traveling in the Sinai Desert on my way down to Mount Sinai, and I learned from the Bedouin people and the desert people, nomadic people, that there's a law of the desert. You can wander into any settlement, any village, any settlement in the Sinai, and you can stay for 3 days, and they will never ask you what you're looking for or what your business is. You will get 3 days of hospitality. Only after that will they ask you, "What are you seeking?" It's an extraordinary sense of hospitality, which is born out of the austerity of the desert. What is good for one is good for the other. So a nomadic people offered the lamb in the springtime when they were moving their flocks. Now, what they will do is they will take a practice which was practical, moving their flocks, and they will anoint it and give it a deeper and more profound meaning. They will begin to retell their story of the Passover. And the lamb sacrifice in the Passover when the people came out of Egypt. And they will sanctify something that was ordinary and elevate this to remembering the story of their people in the Passover event. They will make it holy, such as we did for Christmas. We have no idea when Jesus was born, but there was a feast, pagan feast, Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the invincible sun god, because the sun seemed to be taking over more and more again in the winter solstice there, about December 23rd or 24th. The nights are getting shorter, the days are getting longer, the sun is winning, so the sun is reborn. And they said, we'll plop Jesus right on top of this, and we got December 25th. No idea when exactly Jesus was born. We took an event and we gave it a spiritual meaning. That's exactly what they did with the Passover. And therefore, it fell in the springtime, where we will remember and relive the story of our people led to freedom out of Egypt. Now, when they settle in the land, they enter into the promised land, now they will begin to become selfish. They'll own property, and they will covet things, and there will be conflict. One of the things they will do is they'll grow vines, and the wine harvest will happen about September or October. And in the hills where the vines are growing, they will have tents, and they will live in these tents to cultivate the wine harvest and to protect their own vines. And this became the Feast of Tabernacles, or tents, where they lived in tents. Now they will take this practice of living in tents to take care of their vines, and they will give it a spiritual meaning. They will remember their people in the desert, in the Exodus, living in tents. And they say, we're going to give this a spiritual meaning. We'll retell the story of our people wandering in the desert, their dependence on God, such as we have now. They will elevate this ordinary practice in the wine harvest, September or October, and they will give it a spiritual meaning and call it the Feast of Tabernacles. And they will have to go to Jerusalem in September or October for the Feast of Tabernacles. The third great feast was Pentecost. Pentecost was different. It wasn't taking a practice and anointing it. Pentecost, the rabbis, curiously, came up with this calculation that it was about 50 days from the time they left slavery in Egypt to the time they got to Sinai. Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50th. So they're 50 days. Now they arrive at Sinai. And Moses communes with God. And then chapter 19 in Exodus, God speaks to the people. God speaks to the chosen people and he says, we will make a covenant here. And they all agree. They all listen. And by the way, read Exodus 19 here and you'll find there's thunder, there's power, the mountains shake, and the voice of God comes thunderously with fire. And the voice of God says, you will be my people and I will be your God. And the people make a covenant on Sinai, in the plains there, with the living God, and they become God's people. That's the making of the Hebrew people as the people of God. They're a people of the covenant. The rabbis came up with this. And therefore, by the way, there was a rabbinic legend that when God spoke at Sinai, he spoke to the whole world, but only the Hebrew people heard him. And they were the only ones that responded. Therefore, they became the chosen people of God. Now, keep that in mind, because now when Luke comes to tell us about Pentecost, they're celebrating the remembrance of Sinai, the making of the Jewish people, these select people who heard the voice of God at Sinai, entered into a covenant, and became God's people. Now, the apostles, after Jesus was crucified, fled up to Galilee. Read John chapter 21. They went fishing up in Galilee. But now they come back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, because they were obliged to do so. All Jews were obliged to do so. While they're there, the Holy Spirit comes upon them in fire and in the wind, remembering Sinai. And now the Holy Spirit empowers them and all the people that are there, much larger group. The whole Roman Empire hears in each in their own language. We have me, Elamites, we have the Parthians, all these people that came from the eastern edge of the empire, moving west to Mesopotamia, over to Judea and the Mediterranean coast, then up into Asia Minor, Cappadocia, and then down into the northern Africa in Cyrene and in Libya, and finishing up in Rome. All these people, diverse people, people of many languages, many cultures, will all hear, and a new people of God will be born. That's Pentecost. The church, the birth of the church, a new people of God is born now, not just a select people at Sinai, but multicultural, multilanguage, all-inclusive people will be reborn into a living church in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the important teaching about Pentecost, and that's exactly what Luke wants us to grasp, that it's the all-inclusive, all welcoming, many languages, each will hear the voice in his or her own language. Now, how do we transfer this into this day? I spend half my life in ministry reassuring people that they actually belong to a living church. Feel they're left out. Their lifestyle, whatever it is about their lives, they feel they don't qualify. But listen to Pentecost. Pentecost says, hear the voice of God where you stand in your life. Hear the voice of God in your own language, in your own lifestyle, in your own place, wherever you stand in your life. Hear the voice of God. It's the all-inclusive embrace of a new Israel, which includes people from the East and the West, from Asia Minor, from Africa, people in the entire Roman Empire, which was, in fact, the world as Luke knew it. So it embraces all people are now part of the new covenant. Now, how does this affect us? It means that somehow every one of us is a chosen person, the person who hears the voice of the Spirit calling to belong to a living church, a people of God. You belong. You don't belong because of canon law. You don't belong because somebody important tells you you fit or you don't fit. You belong because you hear the voice of the Spirit, and the voice of the Spirit says it's the making of a church which is all inclusive. Now, in post-Reformation, there was a theologian, nobody remembers his name exactly, and he had this mantra. He wrote a thesis that said, in essentialibus unitas, in dubiis libertas, sed in omnibus caritas. It was in Latin. In essential things, let there be unity. In essentialibus unitas. In dubiis libertas, in doubtful things, let there be freedom. Sed in omnibus caritas, but in all things, let there be love. That's the dominant theme. In all things, we're all inclusive. The church comes alive where people are included and where love somehow becomes the spirit, the soul, the heart of a community. Wherever you are in your life, if your family is to be a living church and a witness to the gospel, it must include everyone. If this church is to be authentic, a witness to Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit, it must include all people who come. No matter how they come, when they come, in what condition they are, what place they find themselves in life, they belong because it's a new covenant, it's a new living church, and therefore Pentecost is considered theologically the birthing of the church, a new Sinai, a new covenant. It's good for us to keep that in mind. that whoever hears the voice of the Spirit belongs and is a chosen son and a chosen daughter of God. Amen.